Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. I just felt before the Lord that I should teach this morning on a subject I've been covering on Sunday evenings. And since, if you've been in the Sunday evening services with me, you'll know that since the beginning of the year I've been teaching on wisdom. And we've gone through a number of different topics related to wisdom. But the one I just started about a few weeks ago is on humility, humility and wisdom. And I want to just share, because I just felt this was right before the Lord. You know, some of you haven't been in the Sunday evening services, and some of you are unable to come to the Sunday evening. But we have here in the book of Proverbs an amazing statement, verse 7, Proverbs 4, verse 7. And it says this, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, he says, get
wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all of your getting, you know, we want to get many things. You know, we love to acquire and get things. But he says, in all of your getting, get understanding. Then listen to this verse, verse 8. Exalt her. Who's he talking? He's talking about wisdom. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Now, in this subject of wisdom we've been looking at, we've seen that one aspect of walking in wisdom is to humble ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves before God. And when we humble ourselves before God, we are elevated and exalted. If we embrace, or if we exalt wisdom, it says she will promote us. She will exalt us. She will cause us to rise up. And did you know that it's God's intention for you as a Christian, and it always has been, that you come into something better. You know, you're not just born again and then get bored. That's never God's intention. Pastors mentioned the people of God this morning when they were in Egypt and they went through the Passover and they celebrated, or the, if that's the right word, commemorated, you know, this blood sacrifice. Well, when God brought them up out of Egypt, he didn't bring them up out of Egypt to leave them in the wilderness. He always intended to bring them into the promised land. You know, God's purpose for you and for me is to bring us up out of sin, and not just to leave us so that we get bored in our Christianity. But he wants to bring us into something better. So there's a place of exaltation, a place where we come up higher in the things of God. Because ultimately, we're going to be raised and go to spend eternity with him. You don't sound very excited, but thank you, sister. Our ultimate elevation will be when he takes us home to be with him forever. Amen. Now, in these verses from Proverbs, we read that if we deal rightly in wisdom, we will be exalted and promoted. Now, I want to start by just going through a couple of things. You know, because all too often, and we see it not just in the church, but we see it in secular societies, there's a lot of people who want to promote themselves. Eh? They want to promote themselves. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to do things so that they get themselves noticed. Now, we expect it in the secular world, but in the church there's also those people that want to be noticed. They want to stand at the front. Now, I never chose to be a preacher. God chose me. You may be surprised at this, and you can check this with my wife. She will confirm this. Jill, I detest talking to people. You might find this, I just find it very difficult talking to people. I find it very difficult making relationships with people. I don't like that one-to-one connection. Now, somebody once asked me, how do I feel when I stand up in front of the church? Actually, I feel very comfortable. I don't understand it. See, I must prefer it when it's just one-to-one. Not me. I don't like that type of connection. So this would be, and actually everything about me, the fact that I can stand up in front of a church, the fact that I stand up in front of a class of students at school, is really what God has done in me. It's nothing of myself. So God has put me in this position, and God has given me all the necessary qualifications I need to fulfill that role. So, but I don't do it to get noticed. I don't do it because I want to wear something and say that I'm it, because I'm not it. Some people like, you see, they do it in church. They want to sing. They want to be seen at the front of the church doing something. And that shouldn't be our motivation for anything we do for God. It's not about us. Whether it's out on the streets or in the church, wherever we are, we're doing something for God. It's all about Him. Not about me. Not about you. It's all about Him. So a lot of us want to promote ourselves. We want, because we want to get the credit. And that's basically, we want someone to say, well done. Now, the only person we should be seeking a well done from is the Lord.
Amen.
Now, He will, when He tells us well done, then we know we've done a good job. In actual fact, some people can tell us well done, and they actually mean the complete opposite. They just don't want to hurt us. So, if we're looking for credit among people, we're looking in the wrong place. Now, wisdom will tell us that if we promote wisdom, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is our wisdom, He will exalt us. So, if we're looking for promotion, you know where to begin. Start to exalt wisdom. Start to walk in wisdom. Now, of course, Jesus is our greatest example. He humbled Himself. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that He came from the Father's throne. You know, He left that glory and splendor. He humbled Himself and became obedient. He said He became as a man. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You know, Jesus submitted to His Father in everything He said and did. I don't have the scriptures to go to this morning, but it's recorded in John's Gospel that Jesus said on several occasions, I only do the things I hear from the Father and what He tells me to say. So the things He says, the things He heard from His Father, that is what He did. He was obedient to His Father's will, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, praying and surrendering to His Father's will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, even as He was facing the cross. Have you thought about the cross? You know, it wasn't a humane means of death. And as Jesus faced the cross, Hebrews tells us that he did it with joy. Not because He was happy about the cross. He didn't. I don't believe He wanted to go to the cross. Because He wouldn't have prayed that prayer in the garden. If there's any other way, Father, let it be. But He joyfully submitted and surrendered to his father's will for him. Because he knew that was the right thing. Jesus humbled himself. And what does it goes on in that chapter in verses 8 and 9, and it says, therefore God has also highly exalted him. That word exalted means lifted him up. Yes, he lifted him up from the grave. He exalted him and he lifted him into heaven, and he exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, the scripture says. So if we humble ourselves under God, he will raise us up. So let's look at this word, humility. What is humility? Come with me to the book of Peter. I think Peter gives us a definition of humility. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now Peter's writing to the church, of course. And in chapter 5, verse 5, he says this. And it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Likewise, you younger people. I don't believe he's necessarily just talking to the younger generation in the church. I think he's talking to all of those that are new in faith as well. Because there were people added to the church every day. And Peter is writing to these people, he's encouraging them, and he's saying, look, he says, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, you young people, submit yourselves to the elders. Those of you that are new in the Christian way, submit yourselves to your elders. But then he goes on, he says, be submissive one to another. It says, and be clothed with humility. And then he makes adds a quotation here from the Proverbs, and he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now listen to this last statement, verse 6. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I believe there is the definition of humility. You bring yourself, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. So what is humility? Humility is to submit yourself to someone higher and greater than yourself. Humility is not this. Let me tell you what humility isn't as well. Humility is not to make yourself so great. I've done it. I've arrived. I'm the best. There's no one like me in the church. You know, no one could do that job as good as me. What are we actually? This isn't humility. This is actually pride. God resists the proud, it says, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility is not making ourselves so great, or building ourselves up, or trying to seek a name for ourselves, or anything that will get us the credit, get us noticed. Pride does that. Humility exalts us. Pride will bring us down. If you want to fall, then start building yourself up. Yes, if you want to fall, build yourself up, because God will bring you down. But if you want to be raised up, start submitting to what God says and wants for you. Now, let's look at the reverse side of that coin, because pride, talking about building ourselves up, Do you know there are some people in the church that go the complete opposite? They bring themselves so low. And they say, oh, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. You know, God won't do this for me. They make themselves so low. And what they're actually doing is that this is pride too. But this is like an inverted pride. It's trusting in yourself, or your ability, or your inability to do something. Now, I want to, just before I move on, I want to tell you about a statement I hear in church quite a lot. I don't think I've heard it here, thank God. But when I was in the UK, a lot of people, you hear this, and it's a quotation that you hear time and again. And it's said by a lot of well-intentioned Christians who think they want to, they're being humble when they utter these words. And this is the quotation. You probably have heard it. Well, brother or sister, I'm just an old sinner that's saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner. One, that is not biblically correct.
Amen.
That quotation does not come from the scriptures. Let me tell you, come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Because I believe this scripture here will show us that this statement is not scriptural. That I'm just an old sinner that's been saved by grace. Now, we were old sinners, and we have been saved by grace. That is true. But first off, this statement, I am just an old sinner, is, I don't want to give you a language lesson, but this is using the verb be, which is a state verb. It's talking about your state. I am a present state. I am just an old sinner. Ephesians 2 verse, really it's the whole chapter, but we're not going to read the whole chapter because of time. But come with me to verse 4, Ephesians 2 verse 4. Because this scripture says this. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, this whole chapter is talking about the same thing. But here in these verses, it tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were. Past tense. In the past. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But what does it say? It says, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he has made us alive. He's made us alive. He's raised us up from the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we've been raised. Why? Because we trusted in his redeeming blood. We put our faith in him. Because we submitted ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ, we've been raised from dead to life. It goes on in those verses, and it says, we haven't just been raised from death to life, but it says, verse 6 says, we've been raised up together and seated in heavenly places in him.
Hallelujah.
We didn't read it, but if you go to verses 12 and 13, you'll see something else. It says, at that time, talking about when we were dead in trespasses and sins, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. We were aliens. We were strangers. We didn't have God. We had no hope. We were in the world. But now, we are in Christ Jesus. And it says, verse 13 goes on, it says, now in Christ Jesus. Now. Not then. Now. Now in Christ Jesus. You who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Can a sinner sit in the heavenly places?
No way.
So if the Bible says that we are now raised with him and we're seated in heavenly places, why do we lower our status and say, I'm just a sinner that's been saved? No. The scripture says this. The Bible tells us, we haven't got time to turn the scriptures off. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations. You know, you're not that old sinner just patched on. You know, when I cut my... Well, actually I don't, because my skin doesn't like it. But when people cut themselves, they put a sticky patch, a plaster. And they cover up the wound. Do you know when you were a sinner and you were born again, you know, Jesus didn't stick a plaster on your skin. He didn't cover up sin.
Amen.
The Bible says you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
You become new. You're a new creation. You are not that old sinner reformed and refashioned and made good. You're a completely new creation. John 1:12 tells us that many have received him, Jesus. He gave them the right to be called the sons of God, the children of God. You are a child of God. You are not a sinner. Once I was a sinner, now I'm a son. Amen? You're not sure? Once I was a sinner, now I am a son.
Amen. And
daughters. I don't think you heard what I said. Once I was a sinner, now I am a son.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Revelation tells us that now you are a king and a priest unto God. And we have the audacity to stand before God and say, but I'm just a sinner that's been saved. Come on, don't lower your status, brothers and sisters. You're not sinners. You're sons, you're children, you're daughters of the Most High God.
Thank you, Lord.
Now our sister sings a song. It talks about being lower than the angels. You know, you are not lower than the angels today. You've been raised above angels. You know, one day we're going to judge angels. We can't judge somebody that's higher than us. We judge those that we are over. Our status has been raised in Christ Jesus. We're seated in the heavenly places. Let me just wrap up with this. Give me Luke 18, Brother Joe. Because here we have a parable. Jesus, well, I don't know if it's a parable, but Jesus was observing these two men that were at the wall of Jerusalem, and they were praying in Luke 18. He tells of a Pharisee, he tells of a sinner, a tax collector. And this Pharisee, he begins to pray, and he begins to look at the tax collector who's a little way from him, and in his prayer, he says, oh, Father, I want to thank you, I'm not like him. I don't do the things that he does. I'm respectable. I pay my tithes. I pray. I study. I know the scriptures. I do this. I do that. I'm great. I'm wonderful. And just a few feet from where he's standing, you've got this tax collector, and he doesn't even lift his eyes up. because he's so focused on God. And he says, Lord, he says, be merciful to me, a sinner. We have a man here who's full of pride. His prayer is based on himself, on his achievements, on his accomplishments, on the things that he thinks he is and what he does. And yet the tax collector, you know, who couldn't lift his eyes because his thoughts were taken over with God. He knew he was a sinner, but he knew he was coming to the one who is able to redeem him. And he just prays for God's mercy. Do you know what he did? He submitted himself to God, and the Bible says that this man went home justified.
Amen.
Do you know that word justified means? We use it a lot in church. I once heard somebody describe it as this. It means to be made as just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. Doesn't that excite you this morning? That you've been made as though you had never sinned? Amen. But when we learn to submit ourselves to God. Verse 14. Give me verse 14, please, Joe. Look what it says here. It says, this man went home justified rather than the other one. And Jesus asks this statement. To everyone who exalts themselves will be brought down. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, God willing, I want to continue with this next week. This theme of humility. You know, I believe this is a subject we need to hear. And God willing as well, we're going to upload this teaching to the closed Facebook group as well.
Facebook.
Yeah. And so you will have access to the study if you can't make it. But
Sunday evening, still
there.
Not now, in September.
In September, yeah. So, God bless you. You know, be encouraged.
Amen.